Welcome to the second hour's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
More curb appeal. Kimberly Bedingfield delivers a smoothie to Scott Church outside Smoothie King after the store has implemented online or call-in ordering and drive-through delivery. Coronavirus effect. Restaurants move to delivery and takeout options. By J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Even before Governor Greg Abbott announced Thursday that restaurant dining areas will be temporarily closed, some local restaurants had transitioned to takeout and delivery options. Other restaurants had decided to close their doors temporarily. The Garlic Press owner Joshua Washburn said Wednesday that staff have been working all week to transition to to-go, pickup, and delivery orders. The restaurant closed its dining room on Thursday. Initially, Garlic Press will have its full menu, and then it'll probably be more streamlined and curtailed menu so that we can take advantage of a much more diminished labor force, Washburn said in a phone interview. We're having to make significant changes to our service, not just for following COVID-19 CDC protocols, but also for the health and well-being of the financial viability of the restaurant. Washburn said people can call in orders noon to 8:30 p.m. for pickup and delivery. Their website, https://www.thegarlicpress.net, will also have an online ordering system. Wine and beer will be available for orders. Regardless of the restaurant, whether it's a small mom-and-pop taco stand restaurant, or in our case, a high-end restaurant, every one of these operations really operates on a pretty thin margin, especially here in the Permian Basin, he said. Regularly thin margins are especially thin now. Probably in many cases, I would say that 2 or 3 weeks of being out of business could be the death now for a restaurant. He encourages those with an interest in their favorite restaurant being viable long-term to think about supporting them in some fashion during this time. Ray Blanchard, the owner of Bean and Grape, was staying positive about the situation on Wednesday before Governor Abbott announced that dining rooms should close. He had planned to keep the dining room open while abiding by the 50-person limit for gatherings. Bean and Grape announced on Facebook that the dining room will be closing after Friday. Our biggest thing is just trying to make sure that we keep our employees working and a cash flow going like every other restaurant, he said. Bean and Grape will be offering prepared meals to go that can be reheated at home. Menus will be posted each day on the restaurant's Facebook page, and orders will be taken up until noon each day. Bean and Grape will also be adding wine and beer to pickup options with food orders. Blanchard said they are discounting wine and beer to 50% off. We want to make sure that we're supporting local businesses, not just our local business, and making sure people are fed since people are having a hard time getting food at grocery stores right now, he said. Open restaurants. Alley Village Butter, 200 Spring Park Drive, closed its dining room but has moved to curbside takeout orders from 4 to 8 p.m. The restaurant is also serving social isolation cocktail kits to go. The kit includes everything needed to make a cocktail at home. Each kit comes with enough to make 6 servings. The kit must be purchased with food. To place an order, call 853-2625. Venezia Restaurant, 2101 West Wadley Avenue, has curbside pickup and delivery options from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Wine will be available to add to any food order. The restaurant is working on a family-style menu. To place an order, call 687-0900 or through favor.com and delivery.com. Hand Cafe, 5000 Briarwood Avenue, has new hours, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. To place an order, call 253-2346. Taco Divino, 111 West Oak Avenue, closed the dining room Friday. They will be delivering and taking orders for pickup. To place orders, call 704-5257. Jason's Deli, 4610 North Garfield Street, is doing curbside pickup and delivery options as well as catering. Hours are 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily. To place an order, call 682-2200. Luigi's Italian Restaurant, Big Spring Street and Texas Avenue, has suspended in-house dining until April 3, according to their Facebook. Curbside pickup is available during regular hours of operation. To order, call 683-6363. Mulberry Cafe and Gerardo's Casita will be doing takeout, curbside pickup, and delivery. Wine and beer will be available to go with the purchase of food. Orders of $25 or more can be delivered. To place an order with Mulberry, call 242-5952. For Gerardo's, call 570-8012. Steak 42, 106 South A Street, is offering curbside pickup and free deliveries. The menu is posted on Facebook, and they can sell alcohol with a food purchase. To order, call 704-5242. Basin Burger House, 607 North Colorado Street, is offering curbside pickup and delivery. To order, call 687-5696. Max Barbecue and Catering, 2400 West Indiana Avenue, has curbside pickup and delivery. They will be offering their bar menu to go as well. To order, call 247-5654. Toros Cafe, 5701 Starboard Drive, will offer curbside pickup, carryout, and delivery. To order, call 689-0445. Restaurants that have temporarily closed include Opal's Table, Bruce Street Bakery, and Thai House. This is not an all-inclusive list of Midland restaurants. For others, call the restaurant or check its website. Want to add a restaurant to the list? Email JC Lewis at jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Meetings this week. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Monday, Midland County Courthouse Auxiliary Courtroom, 500 North Lorraine Avenue. City Council, 10 a.m. Tuesday, Council Chambers, City H, All 300 North Lorraine Avenue. MISD, 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, virtual meeting. Hospital District, 11:45 a.m. Thursday, Administration Boardroom. Child Nutrition, Midland ISD Child Nutrition Services, CNS, will provide free breakfast and lunch to any student this week and the next. Students do not have to be on free or reduced lunch to receive a meal. Meals are grab and go and may be picked up at any of the locations. Breakfast will be served 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. and lunch will be served 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the following locations. Elementary schools, Bonham, East Parking, Drive. Bowie, West Parking. Bunch, East Bus Drive. Burnett, East Parking, Drive. Bush, North Bus, Parent Drive. De Zavala, East Parent Drive. Fannin, West Parent Drive. Franks, East Service Loop Drive. Great House, West Service Loop Drive. Henderson, West Parent Drive. Lamar, East Service Loop Drive. Long, East Street Parking. Milam, East Street Parking. Parker, West Bus Drive. Pease, West Parking Drive. Rusk, East Bus Drive. Santa Rita, West Drive. Scarborough, South Parking Drive. South, North Street Curb. Travis, South Parent Drive. Yarborough, North Bus Drive. Secondary schools, San Jacinto, East Bush Drive. Goddard, East Staff Parking. Midland High, A Street, Band Hall Service Loop. South Interstate 20, Mobile Sites, Yellow MISD Bus, Cotton Flat Baptist Church, 6409 Highway 349, Valley View Baptist Church, 5500 FM 1213, Twin Oaks Mobile Home Park, 5200 South County Road 1200. Grocery store hours during coronavirus. Albertsons Market, 1002 Andrews Highway, 694-8841, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. 3317 North Midland Drive, 689-8683, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Tuesday and Thursday. HEB, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 5407 Andrews Highway and 3325 West Wadley Avenue. Customers 60 plus, orders can be called in 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 833-397-0080. Groceries will be delivered by Favor Delivery. For more information, go to newsroom.heb.com. Market Street, 4706 North Midkiff Road, 699-0761, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. For shoppers 60 plus, 7 to 9 a.m. Monday and Thursday. Walmart, 7 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., 200 East Interstate 20, 684-3910, 4517 North Midland Drive, 697-0871. Coronavirus Briefs. MMH business handled via phone, email. The Midland Memorial Hospital Business Office is handling all requests via phone or email until further notice, and medical records requests through appointment and email, according to a press release from a spokeswoman. Business office contacts. Financial assistance, screening, and applications, 221-5257. The financial assistance policy and application can also be found at midlandhealth.org. Customer service, 221-1522, option 5, or by email at customerservice@midland-health.org. Physician billing office, customer service, 221-1522, option 5, or by email at customerservice@midlandhealth.org. Physician billing office, customer service, 221-2455, or by email to mimabilling@midlandhealth.org. MSO customer service and payments, 221-2455, or by email to mimabilling@midlandhealth.org. Inquiries also may be mailed to Midland Memorial Hospital, Attention Business Office, 400 R.R. Grover Parkway, Midland, Texas, 79701. To request medical records, call 221-1600 or email release of information at midlandhealth.org. A representative will make contact to complete the request. Release of information authorization forms are available in English and Spanish at https://www.midlandhealth.org/main/medical-records. MISD closes all district offices. Midland ISD is closing all district offices effective Monday. Staff will be working from home, according to a press release from the Communications Department. This change does not impact the district's commitments regarding the provisions of child nutrition and academic resources. This directive is in effect until further notice. Governor Greg Abbott has closed schools at least until April 3. Midland ISD expects to compensate all employees and long-term subs at their current rate of pay. A resolution is to be considered at the next school board meeting, which is scheduled for Tuesday. MC classes to resume online. Midland College continues to find ways to provide a safe and healthy environment while allowing students to finish the spring semester amidst the coronavirus pandemic. Beginning Monday, all face-to-face lectures and science labs will be held via Canvas and other online tools, according to a press release from MC. Faculty will notify students of delivery method. Most hands-on skills training labs will be suspended through March 27. Instructors are attempting to contact students regarding these labs through their Midland College student email. Students who have questions or concerns about a particular class and/or lab are encouraged to contact their instructors. Midland College will be open beginning Monday in an online and virtual environment. Communication may be via email, webcam, and social media. Updates will also be posted on the college's website, midland.edu. Local Churches Move Services, Ministries Online, by J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hurstnp.com. St. Nicholas's Episcopal is among area churches that are moving services and outreach to online for the foreseeable future. Rector Nancy Springer said the church will be conducting worship service on Facebook Livestream for the first time today. The service is at 9:30 a.m. from the small chapel. "It looks differently because they'll be viewing it online and it won't be all together," Springer said. "Part of our worship service is very participatory. In the Book of Common Prayer, there's things that the priest says, and the congregation has their response to that throughout the whole service, so it's a little strange." She said she keeps emphasizing to the congregation that though the building is closed, the church isn't closed. "We are the church. We make up the church. All of us connected together," she said. "We just have to remember that it looks differently." She said she has started doing more videos and live streams for the congregation during this time. "I'm adding some additional services," she said. "In the past 2 days, I've done what we call evening prayer, but I recorded it as a video and then just put it on our Facebook page. This morning from home, I did what would be called morning prayer from my comfy chair in my living room and live streamed it over the Facebook to start getting them, the congregation, used to this before we get to Sunday morning." Her church also has an outdoor worship space that is open to the public. The space is located off Loop 250 next to Goodwill Store in Haverty's. She said everyone is invited to come and use the space while social distancing. "That's the outdoor worship space, truly God's provision for a time in need," she said. "Several weeks ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, before the coronavirus really got serious here, we had a person who said, 'I want to help finish up the outdoor worship space.' They made a very generous donation to help us do that. We now have a path that people even with mobility issues can get out to it." Springer said she has asked people to bring benches for the worship space. St. Nicholas has nothing definite set for the celebration of Holy Week. "One of the things we were making plans for was a sunrise Easter service from what we call the meadow, the outdoor worship space," she said. "It's possible that we could still live stream that with me and our deacon, and I've invited other Episcopal clergy in the area to come join as well." She said they will practice the safe numbers and that there is enough outdoor space for people to spread out and stay 6 to 10 feet away from each other. However, if they can't be in person on Easter morning, she plans to live stream the sunrise service, the meadow worship space, and the various Holy Week services as well. Springer said it is difficult to not come together in person, but people in the congregation are accepting it and learning it. Their Facebook page is public, so people don't have to have a Facebook account to view the videos. "I think everyone is very willing to learn a new and different way," she said. Springer said she is encouraging people to reach out to one another when they're feeling isolated and alone, because technology allows them to connect despite the distance. Stonegate Fellowship Executive Pastor Larry Gilbert said, "This will be the second Sunday the church has held an online-only church service. We've closed our office. We're working from home right now, from the staff standpoint," he said. "There's no more public gatherings that we're doing at our campus, so all of our services are now online." He said they have implemented a fairly robust virtual church. He said their youth are doing Facebook live streams, and they will be rolling out things this next week with some of the other ministries. Gilbert said, they are trying to do their part in limiting exposure. We're really trying to focus on if there's a way to stay connected during the social isolation period with our people, with our neighbors, and we're really pushing that, he said. He said they sent out a notice to members that they will be holding online services at least through the end of the month. Stonegate Fellowship has already had an online component to services that people could watch while they were traveling or away for work purposes. However, this last Sunday, they had viewership spike. Our analytics show that between Facebook and our online, it was just south of around 2,000 people last Sunday, Gilbert said. Stonegate Fellowship has music worship and a sermon during their live streams. It's interesting because you're preaching to the congregation in an auditorium of 1,200 seats that there's nobody in, he said. It makes it a little strange, but I'm very proud of the way that, not just our church, but everybody's, kind of adhered to the protocols that the government has implemented. Unitarian Universalist Church of Midland, Reverend Emily Wright Magoon, moved the church services online on March 15. The church has been hosting communication through Zoom, which is a cloud platform for video and audio conferencing, collaboration, chat, and webinars across mobile devices, desktops, telephone, and room systems, according to the Zoom website. We sent it out from all of our communications channels, the login info, and instructions for how to use Zoom, Wright Magoon said. This information is also found on the Unitarian Universalist Church of Midland's website and Facebook page. She said the service last Sunday went well on Zoom. We are a small congregation. I think what people were really craving was just to see one another and connect, she said. We're not looking for super polished services. We're looking more for connection. Wright Magoon said people seemed to really enjoy seeing one another's faces and having some time to hear uplifting spiritual resources, too. There was time for people to share their joys and sorrows with one another, and they had a reflection question that people could respond to. More than 40 people joined in during the Zoom service. The church has also been hosting board meetings, congregational meetings, church business, a midweek check-in, and a special children's time on Zoom. Wright Magoon said she thinks people miss being physically present with one another. We're trying to respond to the demands of finding other ways to connect, she said. That's a major part of being in a church, connecting. We like to say that church is not canceled, we're just finding new ways to do church. Music directors Scott and Sonia Millichamp have been playing music for the congregation during services. Wright Magoon said they plan on having special guest musicians from across the country also play because a lot are out of work during this time. A volunteer is helping people who are having difficulties with technology and connecting with Zoom. Connection Christian Church of Odessa will be holding a different type of service. This is the first time they will be holding this style of service, but want to experiment before publicizing it. Co-pastor Don Weeks said the church has responded to the threat of coronavirus in a number of ways. We've been in prayer in multiple ways, she said. We have been doing all our Bible studies and that kind of thing online, with prayers, so that people can access those if they need to. She said they have also been contacting members of the congregation and making sure that they have what they need while offering prayer over the phone for them. They have also been working on outreach in the community during this time of social distancing. We know that for a lot of people, daily life was already hard, she said. To have this coronavirus has really made things difficult for folks that have economic disadvantage, especially. So we have been encouraging our folks to sign up to deliver Meals on Wheels. A lot of those drivers are elderly people that need to not be out, and of course, all of us need to be careful. The church has also partnered with the West Texas Food Bank and the Boys and Girls Club, she said. Church members will be distributing food boxes for families that come through a drive-through system to make sure they are not feeling panicked about a lack of food. She said they will be doing this 4 to 7 p.m. Fridays until it is no longer needed. Connection Christian Church of Odessa is also offering free Wi-Fi in their parking lot at this time. One of my first thoughts is, what do we have and what are our resources? Because in a time of crisis, You tend to focus on what you don't have, Weeks said. We have really good Wi-Fi at our church, thanks to a generous person, so we're able to share that. You can park in our lot and just hop on your Wi-Fi for your kiddos. Connection Guest is the Wi-Fi. We just thought there are so many families that don't have that resource at their home, and they're trying to keep up with what the school district is asking their kids to do. The youth group has been supporting each other through Zoom calls. She said it's important during this time to listen to authorities, but also focus on what is available, such as going outside, watching squirrels play and birds sing, or sharing love and phone calls. There's a lot we still have. We have so much more than we don't, Weeks said. That's really important to remember, that habit of gratitude and noticing the blessings that we are able to use to help ourselves and to help others.
TTUHSC Medical Student Starts Life Support Group. Volunteers assist healthcare providers with daily tasks. By J.C. Lewis. jc.lewis@hearstnp.com. Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center students started life support to assist essential healthcare providers with daily tasks. The effort was inspired by a group of students in Lubbock who put together a similar program a few days ago, said Rebecca Meiser, a third-year medical student at TTUHSC of the Permian Basin. The first and second-year medical students have been taking online classes for about a week now, she said. Because clinical rotations have been suspended, the Permian Basin students started life support because they have the time right now. At this point, we have put together a list of people willing to help out. The list includes what people are willing to do to help out providers who are working crazy hours or having to adjust their schedule or to adjust to the grocery store that's being closed earlier or things like that, Meiser said. Life support participants will be offering their time to TTUHSC employees for services such as babysitting, pet sitting, grocery shopping, dog walking, while the employees respond to coronavirus cases. Meiser said she's studying for her Step 2 exam, the USMLE Step 2 Clinical Knowledge, but otherwise, she has more free time. She said so far, 10 students have volunteered, but she doesn't know many healthcare providers have signed up for help. She said she has been spending a lot of time studying. The dean's office and the medical school have been keeping students updated and are invested in keeping students safe and healthy with emphasis on their mental health, she said. TTUHSC will transition from face-to-face instruction to online instruction on March 30. TTUHSC President Dr. Lori Rice Spearman said the university has students who are in two different situations, students who are on campus in Lubbock and students who are doing clinical learning experiences. This is an effort to really focus on the health and safety of our student body, Rice Spearman said. She said students are in healthcare facilities and private facilities all across the United States, completing their clinical internships. She said most health-related academic programs have their own specific accrediting bodies. She said the facilities and accrediting bodies determine and drive how the university responds with the students and their clinical situations. ACGME, Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, last week put out information that all third and fourth year medical students are no longer allowed to participate in clinical experiences, Rice Spearman said. So, those are things that are not driven by the university, but by the accrediting body. She said the university is doing everything they can to work with students who are affected to find alternative experiences, but they also have to honor what the accrediting body is requiring. The university sent out an email to students with resources available to them and frequently asked questions they might have. In the email, students were informed that the TTUHSC Counseling Center, Our Legacy Now Student Foundation, a student-led organization that provides emergency financial assistance to students who are experiencing unanticipated hardship, and the TTUHSC Nurse Hotline are available to students. The email also stated spring commencement ceremonies have been postponed. Students who have completed all degree requirements will receive diplomas at the end of the semester. There is an academic transition task force for the entire university that includes six campuses. The task force is looking at specific things the university can do so graduation is not delayed, while realizing that there are some things that are out of their control. However, there is a possibility that some of the academic programs will need to be extended into the summer until the hours are completed, she said. Rice Spearman said the Centers for Disease Control has some very specific guidelines about personnel who are allowed to interact with COVID-19 suspected or infected individuals. For the most part, our students are considered non-essential personnel, she said. Will they potentially be in that facility where there has been a positive case? Yes, but they will not be interacting directly with that patient. During this uncertain time, Miser said, it is inspiring to see how the healthcare system is responding. It makes me feel privileged to be a part of a healthcare system that cares so deeply about the community, she said. It is really inspiring to see how people are stepping up and how the healthcare system as a whole is responding to it. It makes me excited for the point in my career where, hopefully this never happens again, but it makes me excited for the point in my career where I could be a really active contributor and help people. Miser said students are trying to support the healthcare system and model the behavior for the community. We're really trying to do what little we can to support the healthcare system and trying to model the behavior that we would love to see from the community for dealing with this crisis, such as social distancing and maintaining good hygiene, while checking in on your neighbors or friends that may be vulnerable and may need help or support during this time, Miser said.
Hello, this is Cindy reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, March 22nd. MCH creates phone line for health screening. Medical Center Health System is creating a phone line for patients to call for health screenings when presenting signs for COVID-19 that will go live on Monday. Patients who are experiencing symptoms are being asked to call 432-640-2747. The phone line will be open from 9 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, and from 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. If you have symptoms when the phone line is not open, patients are being asked to self-quarantine until the following day. As always, if it's an emergency, please call 911. Patients not at risk may be asked to self-quarantine at home until well or able to follow up with their usual health care provider. If the patient meets the criteria set by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the State Health Department, the patient will be scheduled for an appointment for further screening at one of three MCH urgent care clinics. The patient will then be tested for influenza and other viral illnesses. Again, it is important to call the number above first if presenting symptoms. If the MCH urgent care clinic determines the patient should be swabbed for COVID-19, the urgent care will request State Health Department approval. If the health department approves, the patient will be sent to our MCH urgent care on 42nd Street to be swabbed for COVID-19. The patient will be made aware they are a person under investigation, PUI, and should remain self-quarantined at home until confirmed. It can take up to 1 week for results to be returned. Patients cannot be swabbed for COVID-19 at the 42nd Street urgent care simply because they or their provider desire it. Patients can only be swabbed there with State Health Department approval. If the patient does not meet screening criteria, the state will not approve patient to be swabbed. If COVID-19 is confirmed, the patient will remain self-quarantined or provided necessary hospital care and will be under the supervision of the health department. This process is vital to help with overcrowding of the local emergency rooms and will help proper screening protocol to be completed. MCHS asks that you work with them as they continue to monitor this fluid situation. Kreiner takes sheriff's reins. Winner of highly contested Midland County race seeks restoration of morale, by Bob Campbell. Just having prevailed in a hot sheriff's race, David Allen Kreiner looks forward to achieving his lifelong goal of leading fellow law enforcement professionals to a high level of service. For the 59-year-old El Paso native and retired Texas Department of Public Safety Sergeant, it boils down to one word, integrity. I was told a long time ago that if you have integrity, nothing else matters, and if you don't have it, nothing else matters, said Kreiner, who had served as the Precinct 1 Constable since 2013, till defeating Rory McKinney, Tom Hain, and Joe Lozano in the March 3rd Republican primary, with no Democrat in the race. Referring to a Texas Rangers investigation of a variety of allegations involving his department, he said, "Ranger Ryan Solak of Austin has told me that nobody currently employed is subject to investigation. I told the voters I wanted to make us a premier agency, raising our professionalism with how we carry ourselves and how we treat people with respect and integrity. The number one thing I want to accomplish is to bring morale back into the sheriff's office because it's not very high right now." Solak is looking into accusations of the abuse of official capacity, tampering with a government record, the unlawful interception of oral or electronic communications, and theft between $30,000 and $250,000. With the exception of the charge of the abuse of official capacity from August 2017 and tampering with a government record from February 2019, the other violations allegedly occurred in October last year after Sheriff Gary Painter died on May 26th. There is also a federal lawsuit filed by Sheriff's Office Administrative Assistant Debbie Nichols, alleging violations of state and federal wiretap laws. Kreiner said he was a good friend of Painter's and still holds him in high esteem. One of my opponents criticized Gary by saying he had not kept up with 21st century policies and procedures, but that's not true, he said. He was a modern man. Kreiner wrestled in the 98-pound division at Andres High School in El Paso, joking now that he has blossomed quite a bit since then, and he took degrees in criminal justice at Tarrant Community College in Fort Worth and UTPB while serving as a deputy for Sheriff Dallas Smith from 1981 to 83. He was admitted to the DPS Training Academy in Austin, graduated after 5.5 months, and went on to assignments in traffic law at Irving, Denton, and Dallas, where he made sergeant, and in criminal law as an undercover investigator and polygraph expert here from 1995 till his retirement in 2010, when he returned to the MCSO as a deputy for Sheriff Painter. Kreiner's wife Judy was an MISD special education teacher. They have 2 children and 5 grandchildren. Set to take office April 1st, Kreiner said the DPS Academy was extremely challenging, with only 80 of his 120 classmates earning commissions. "They pushed you to your limit and let you know you could go past your limit if you needed to," he said, explaining that Judy was sometimes distressed to see him with severe bruises on his face and body from the hand-to-hand combat training. "Not many are chosen to go, and a lot fewer finish. They either can't do the physical training or can't do the academics. I went with a man from Midland, Hal Heathington, and many times we asked each other, 'Oh man, do you want to go back on Sunday?' because we knew what we'd be doing." Kreiner said Heathington was a DPS pilot who became a CARE flight pilot at Round Rock after his retirement. With more than 200 employees, the sheriff-elect said his department's crisis response team of deputies, specially trained to handle mental health crises, is important as is continuing to make Midland County safe. "We had our choices of Midland, Corpus Christi, Laredo, and McAllen in 1995, and we decided to come back because we had lived in Midland and loved it," he said. "Those who went before us in the DPS gained respect, and we carried it on. I want to set the right tone for young deputies so they can look to me as a role model and learn from me. I will teach and guide them and give proper training on what steps to take to accomplish their goals." Kreiner said the DPS has such a strong culture of mutual encouragement that troopers constantly support one another, even to the point that there is typically no jealousy when one bests another for a promotion. I'm also a big supporter of veterans and will recruit them to become deputies, he said. The main thing an officer needs is that command presence so they can get control of situations. We need guys with courage. However, Kreiner said encounters with suspects should not be needlessly escalated. You need to keep that parent-child or teacher-student relationship, he said. Once you go down to their level, what happens? Sometimes people look at me and say, "You're different. Were you a highway patrolman?" That's a nice compliment. Chevron operations advisor Dennis Reeves said Kreiner is a community-oriented guy who does a lot of volunteer work with his church and the Downtown Lions Club. He's a tireless worker who held multiple jobs while he was a constable working security at man camps and other things. He has a Christian philosophy and puts that into his daily life. Asked his expectation for Kreiner's 4-year term, Reeves said, "The thing that impresses about David is that he takes everyone's feelings into consideration and is compassionate. He can take charge and be forceful when the need arises, but not overwhelmingly. He is a man you can count on. If he tells you he is going to do something, he will do it." During his 15 years with the DPS here, Kreiner became well known as a lie detector expert, performing 200 to 300 tests per year. It's a good tool to open the door to further investigation and elicit a confession when somebody has done something wrong, he said. A lot of it was with kids' injuries and the sexual assault of kids. That's tough, especially when you have kids of your own. The polygraph opens a new avenue. It can solve a crime or clear a suspect. The goal is to have a clear chart to show deception or non-deception. Kreiner said the stress that is integral to law enforcement is easier with a good, strong spouse and faith in God. "I don't know what I would do if I were not in law enforcement," the Fannin Terrace Baptist Church member said. "I knew in high school that I'd be in it. I'm a man of faith. We are all sinners saved by grace, and I pray for guidance and compassion. Our role is to bring glory to God in all we do and help people see Jesus in us. There are always opportunities to witness." Kreiner's favorite hobby is trout fishing at Grindstone Lake in Ruidoso, New Mexico, where he vacationed with his wife after the election. "I like to teach my grandkids how to fish like my dad taught me," he said. "It's relaxing to get up early and see the sunrise with fog over the lake." All Hands on Deck at Catholic Charities by Tony Venegas. It's been a busy and hectic last few days for Sarah Aguilar. The executive director of Catholic Charities of Odessa says that it's been all hands on deck the last few days at the nonprofit, located at 2500 North Andrews Highway. And given the situation with the ongoing coronavirus outbreak, Aguilar wants to do everything she can to make sure they stay open and help those in need. "We provide emergency services, and that's something that cannot stop because these individuals are in need," Aguilar said. "We had to find a way to address that need, and that is something that we're constantly evaluating daily." Among the services that Catholic Charities provides includes a food pantry, thrift store, and homeless relief and financial support. The Corey Learning Center is also housed at the agency, where they provide GED classes as well as computer and financial literacy courses. Aguilar said that while need for the emergency services has remained constant, but have adjusted the schedules accordingly due to limits about social gatherings to limit the spread of the virus. The food pantry is where Aguilar said things have really picked up. She said that on Tuesday alone, the agency filed 87 orders compared to an average of anywhere between 40 and 50. "That's where we've seen the most increase in need," Aguilar said. "We've seen more people signing up with people who normally don't qualify because they're not within the poverty income bracket." but because of the shortages in the store, they're needing that supplement at this time. In order to qualify for food assistance, Aguilar said that an individual has to fill out an application with the United States Department of Agriculture that includes how many members in the household, total household income, and their need. However, she says that there is no application necessary at this time. For those that qualify, they are able to fill out a form either in person or online, and the agency prepares a box based on guidelines set aside by the USDA. People can then pick up their food at the agency, which is available Tuesday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 to 3:30 p.m. The agency is also encouraging those to use the new curbside pickup off of 25th Street, which Aguilar says is to limit the number of people inside the agency and comply with the guidelines set in place with social distancing. "We are a client choice pantry just like the others in Odessa," Aguilar said. "But right now, we're having a pre-packed box that's balanced. We hope to get back to client choice soon." The agency works with the West Texas Food Bank to make sure they stay stocked. Aguilar said that they were able to receive stock recently after having low supply, but says that food donations are always welcome. Another challenge the agency is looking to work through is manpower. Aguilar said that Catholic Charities of Odessa relies on 20 to 25 volunteers per week to stock the pantry, among other duties, but that the class instructors within the agencies have had to step up. "It has been a little bit of a struggle," she said. "We're just having to rely on just the staff before that, so we're pre-packaging right before and right after lunch, so we can get ready to distribute those." Aguilar said that seeing what was happening in other states has allowed more time for them to prepare to adjust their operations. As of Thursday afternoon, there were no reported positive cases of the coronavirus in Ector County. But for now, Aguilar says she's encouraging people to help out however they can with food, money, and otherwise. "If they want to donate cash so we can order more food, they can do so online," she said. "The food donations are also welcome at any time of the day while we're open. Anything and any little bit helps." Follow Tony Venegas on Twitter at @OA_TVenegas. Mo maintains service commitment. Annual Mudbug fundraiser canceled by Sam Waller. Meals on Wheels of Odessa is one of many organizations being put in a difficult position by the coronavirus pandemic. Maintaining the service it provides despite restrictions put in place to combat the outbreak. Even with social distancing and bans on large gatherings becoming a fact of life, Meals on Wheels of Odessa Executive Director Margaret Burton said the program will continue and has even seen an increase in business in recent days. "We're going to serve," Burton said. "We have been fortunate to have some funds in reserve. We will be using our reserve. Meals are going out as scheduled. I have received more people wanting meals, and I have put them on." Burton said Meals on Wheels has added about 20 new clients in Nectar County just this week. "We are serving about 545 a day now," she said. "That has been paired with an increase in volunteers helping deliver meals." "We are meeting a lot of new people who are volunteering to drive," Burton said. "Odessans are compassionate people. We are having people call in. I have 30 routes a day in town, and Meals does two out in far west Texas County. Our volunteers don't have to go past the West Loop. We have staff that does that out there. One new restriction being placed on those delivering meals is the requirement to set meals on the doorstep, back up 5 feet, and let the clients retrieve them." Burton said that causes a problem for clients who are not physically able to bend over and pick up a package. "One solution," Burton said, "is to deliver meals in restaurant-style to-go sacks, with donations of such items being welcomed. Anyone wishing to volunteer or contribute can contact Meals on Wheels online at mowodessa.com or by telephone at 432-333-6451. Burton said a big factor in Meals on Wheels being able to sustain its service is the continued cooperation of Odessa Regional Medical Center. ORMC is a very good partner. They cook our meals, Burton said. They have some restrictions on getting into the building, but they're accommodating us, and life goes on. The biggest obstacle the program is facing, Burton said, is continuing its service despite the cancellation of its annual Mud Bug fundraiser. Without our fundraiser, that's going to hit us, she said. We will survive. Odessans are generous. I truly believe they will support us because our clients help build Odessa. Burton said other fundraising options are being considered by the program's executive board, but nothing is concrete at this time. We can't do Mud Bug because crawfish are only good through May, she said. They're kicking around what can we do or may we do in the fall. We will be trying to find some grants. Adding to the situation is finding an available time slot for a new event. United Way always has a blackout for the agencies in September and October, Burton said. None of the agencies that belong to the local United Way can do a fundraiser because that's when they do theirs. We might see a relaxing of that this year, but we just don't know. It's up in the air. ECISD reduces office hours and posts curriculum resources by Ruth Campbell. Under Governor Greg Abbott's order, only employees deemed critical to making the daily operations of Ector County ISD will be working on site. Hours will be 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. To help comply with government guidelines on social distancing, the public is being asked to call and make an appointment before visiting schools or offices. We will have very limited personnel on each campus, so if a person needs to speak with someone at the school, they need to call ahead just to make sure that our environment is appropriate, Superintendent Scott Murray said. We don't want 20 people showing up at the same time. We're using the CDC guidelines, and so we do not want more than 10 people gathered at the school at the same time. So please call ahead if you need to speak with someone at the school or you need resources. The administration office downtown will have the same hours. Murray said people don't need to call ahead, but they do at the school level. Curriculum resources have now been posted on the ECISD website. Murray said that went live Friday. This includes digital resources for parents and students and ways for parents to work with their children. Murray said it also includes social-emotional resources for parents and guardians about how to talk to their children. We're excited to be able to roll that out for our moms and dads, Murray said. He added that it will be updated regularly. The district also was trying to contact every student in ECISD by the end of Friday. If someone has not been contacted by a teacher, Murray asked that they contact the school because it means the district or campus doesn't have accurate contact information for them. We need that updated information, he said. On the school nutrition front, Murray said the district has provided more than 35,000 meals since Tuesday afternoon. That's a lot of food, but the really good news is that we received permission from federal government to provide food for Saturday and Sunday. The way this works is when a student stops by to pick up lunch on Friday, we will give them breakfast and lunch for Saturday and breakfast and lunch for Sunday. So basically they get five meals for the price of one, and the price of one is free, Murray said. This shows that there is a significant amount of need in the community, he acknowledged. Our cafeteria folks are having such a great time doing this. It's the right thing to do, and we're thrilled to be able to do that, Murray said. Asked if remote education may cause some students to lose ground once school goes back into session, Murray said he has that fear. I can assure you and our parents and our community that we will do everything in our power to ensure that we're doing as much as we can to provide a quality educational experience given circumstances that we have. but because this is not ideal, none of this is ideal for anybody, I know that some of our kids are going to suffer. In fact, many of our kids may suffer because of this, and that's the hardest part of this entire situation, is it's going to affect our most fragile and vulnerable children, Murray said. I think that's why our teachers are right now so passionate about doing this right and well. It's why our leaders are passionate about doing it right and well. But we've got to really partner with our parents and guardians because we simply do not have the kind of connection with kids that we have during the regular school year. Essential items for COVID-19. Levi Stone, RN, MSN, Chief Nursing Officer. COVID-19 has created a world of heightened awareness and an emphasis on personal protection in mitigating the spread of this highly contagious virus. Aside from COVID-19, other illnesses such as influenza, the common cold, and conjunctivitis, pink eye, make us susceptible, especially when we have a lapse in maintaining standard precautionary practices to prevent their spread. And since these illnesses are communicable, spread from one person to the next, having the following 5 items on hand will improve your chances of staying healthy and, more importantly, protect those most vulnerable in our community. Hand sanitizer. Considering the number of times a day you're touching everyday items such as opening doors or using the phone, there are limitless opportunities to pick up a virus or bacteria. For this reason, proper hand hygiene is essential. Hand washing is and remains the most effective method in preventing the spread of illness. Washing hands with soap and running water routinely and often, especially after touching surfaces, is a must. However, with most of us on the go or in places where soap and running water may not readily be available, alcohol-based hand sanitizers, in most cases, or an effective alternative. Choose varieties with at least 60% alcohol, ethyl, and one that you enjoy using, because bottom line, the more you use it, the more effective it is in preventing illnesses from spreading. Antimicrobial wipes. Similar to the importance of frequent and proper hand hygiene, the same principle is shared among the countless items we share among public places. Shopping carts, stair rails, elevator buttons, bathroom door handles, phones, and light switches are just a few, but you get the idea of just how many items we share with others. Add a contagious person handling any combination of these items before you touch them, and you just might find yourself among the sick as well. By stashing a pack of antimicrobial wipes with your everyday essentials, it allows a quick and convenient way to disinfect these surfaces before you have anything to do with them. Tissues. To be honest, many people do not exercise proper cough and sneezing etiquette. Far too often, people tend to cough and sneeze into their hand, only to touch everything afterward, or worse, into the open without any covering at all. Coughs, but especially sneezes, can produce a turbulent cloud of infectious turmoil for those who cross its path. Use tissues to capture a cough or sneeze and promptly discard it in the trash. If you've used your last tissue or forgot them at home, the next best option is to bend your arm to your nose and mouth and sneeze or cough into the bend of the elbow. On a side note, if you have children, please teach them early in life, so it will hopefully carry over into adulthood. Water. There are many reasons why proper hydration is important in defending your body against foreign invaders. One, in particular, is it optimizes the body's ability to produce and circulate immune system cells, such as white blood cells and lymph, to fight foreign invaders within the body. A steady intake of water also keeps nasal passages moist to help trap and get rid of tiny particles carrying illness, causing bacteria and viruses from entering the body. Make water your beverage of choice this time of year. Keep it with you and consume often throughout the day. Avoid overconsumption of alcoholic or caffeinated drinks, since these types of beverages can dehydrate your body. Your healthcare provider's contact information. Seeing your healthcare provider early in the season will ensure your vaccines, particularly for flu and pneumonia, are up to date. Timing of these vaccines is important to make sure the protection they provide coincides with the months these illnesses are most prevalent. While it's never too late to get these vaccines, your chances of not falling ill are improved the earlier you take them. However, if you do come down with symptoms, contacting your healthcare provider early can lead to a faster diagnosis and prescribing the proper therapy to treat. Influenza, for instance, can be treated and its duration shortened by taking antiviral medication, but must be started within 2 days of symptoms first appearing. Whether having their business card handy or saved into your phone, quick access to call and schedule an appointment is a huge plus. With COVID-19 now confirmed in the Permian Basin, inevitably cases are likely to rise. This only reiterates the fact that every single one of us has a responsibility in maintaining the standards put forth by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which is, wash your hands, avoid touching your face, eyes, nose, and mouth, avoid close contact with people who are sick, exercise distance, at least 6 feet, between others. If you're sick, stay at home. Cover your cough by coughing into your bent elbow. Clean and disinfect frequently touched surfaces and limit travel. If you are at home or have to leave the home, keeping the aforementioned 5 essential items handy will aid efforts in stopping COVID-19 in its tracks.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or your favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.